Today's scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant.
Dear brothers and sisters, God is love, and heaven is filled with love, and we, His children, should cultivate love. And love is really important. And the title is Stamina of Faith, and the subtitle is Love is Patient. Senior Pastor delivered a series of messages on love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, in 2006. And I'll be talking about, based on his messages, I'll be talking about this love. So let me begin with how important love is. Between parents and children, when children listen to their parents, the parents will be happy if they listen to, if the children listen to them, and if they just follow all their instructions. And the children must be lovely. And the parents will be happy. If they tell them to study hard, they study hard. And eat some vegetables, they eat vegetables. And wake up at a certain time in the morning and they just wake up. Would you think your children would be like that? Sometimes. You know, they tell me, you know, my children are acting in this way or that way. Usually they tell me good things about their children, but they also consult me with oversleeping. They're saying it's taking, I can be patient with maybe 10 minutes to wake them up, but it takes 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Should I still be patient? And if there is a fundamental problem, you could try to solve that problem, but sometimes, sometimes you just have to wait for them to change. But anyway, so, suppose there are other kinds of children. So, this kind of children, yes, they listen to the parents very well, and the parents feel these children are lovely, and you know, they may even brag about their children. But one day, the parents read the diary of their children. And I believe none of you will read your children's diaries. Their diaries are not supposed to be read by their parents, but sometimes, if you really love your love and respect your children, you will solve the problem through conversations, but not by reading their diaries. It says, the diary says, suppose, my parents are sending me to cram school and I don't know why they are sending me there. I can't say no to that. I don't really want to go, but if I say no, I know it'll break their heart, so I can't help but just go to that cram school. And they will, parents, if find out about this heart of their children, they'll be probably disappointed. The parents' intention is for the good of their children. So they could have wished their children could have talked to them. But on the other hand, it might even say, I'm afraid of my dad. He will scold me if I don't eat the vegetables. And if I don't wake up when he wakes me up, I'm afraid he will hit me or something. So I just wake up right away. Then this might even hurt the feelings of the parents even more. This is not really voluntary obedience. So can you say these children love their parents? No, they don't. They are doing everything their parents are telling them, but it doesn't mean they really love the parents. Just by outward obedience, it doesn't mean love. It's because they don't understand the heart of their parents. The parents are telling them so many things for the good of their children. You have to eat vegetables, you have to study hard. But the children, they don't understand the reason why they have to do it. So they might just do it out of a sense of duty. So if they don't understand the intention of the parents in telling them to do something, they might be afraid in doing, in obeying. You might think that, I wish my parents would just obey, even though they don't understand my heart. But they will soon, if that's the case, they will soon get tired. And it doesn't last long. And they'll, after listening to you for some time, they will go astray. They'll be troublemakers. So we cannot say these children are really true children, because they just obey out of sense of duty and out of fear. They're not really true children. On the other hand, there are children who understand the parents' heart. So in the sight of parents, they are just so happy about their children. And it's the same in spirit. Father God wants to gain this kind of children. The ultimate reason of ultimate purpose of human cultivation is to gain true children, with whom God can share true love forever. The reason why we are living on this earth is to love God and to be loved by God. So what are true children? They are the ones who actually resemble God. And to resemble God, what do you have to do? We have to look at the face of God and try to look like Him? No. We have to have the heart of God Himself. That is to resemble God. 1 John 4:16, first part says, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. God is goodness and light, and He has many attributes, but His original heart is love. And for that reason, to the extent that we cultivate love, we can have the heart of God. So the more we love, the more we become true children of God. That's why, this is why love is very important. The love chapter tells us about what it is to really love God. It's not just to be happy when you think about the Father God, but if you really love God or not, can be decided if you have the evidence. So, the love chapter tells us about the evidence of loving God. What kinds of heart we should have to love God. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. So, there must be evidence if we love, and the evidence of loving God is to keep His commandments. It's not something difficult. So from the love chapter, we can understand what it is to really love God from the heart. So before I get into love is patient, let me explain briefly about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove the mountains and but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So words, beautiful words, prophecy, or charitable works, even though we do all these things so fervently, if we don't have love inside, what will happen? What is it like? Let us think about it. We speak so many languages, Korean, Chinese, English, Japanese, so many languages. But if you do not love God, we follow the lust of the world. We use our ability to gain, to get fame of the world. And that's not something to be blessed. Or we have very angelic voice. We are very kind words. We speak kind words. But inside, we don't have the love. So it hurts the feelings of others. Sometimes we ignore the words of others, and sometimes we hurt the feelings of others. We can't really make others happy. And prophecy, it doesn't refer to receiving revelation about the future, but it is in a general meaning. That because we believe in the Word of God, we know that there will be the Lord's coming and a 7-year tribulation, and we will be saved, and we will go to heaven and hell. And so, if we have this kind of, and so because we have the gift of prophecy, so we know the providence of salvation, the way of the cross. But if we do not have love, we will not try to spread this word. You might be working hard in the church, but eventually you will seek your own benefit. So this is the beginning of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Talks about having outward deeds while not having love inside. So if you do not have love, we are nothing. And it profits us nothing. So to cultivate spiritual love, we shouldn't just focus on the deeds, but we have to focus on the heart, how much love there is in the heart. In the first morning, if you attended the morning service, you'd understand. Two brothers. From the two brothers, we can see the cases where we just have outward deeds, but not the core and the essence inside. We shouldn't just have the deeds, or we shouldn't just have the heart. We should have the love, not out of sense of duty or fear, but with love for the parents. And we should also have the outward deeds properly. We shouldn't say, oh no, I don't want to do it. I can't do it. So, the best answer is to have both. The love itself and the outward deeds coming out from the love. So in spiritual sense too, we have to love God, and we should have also the outward deeds. So from now, let me get into each of the 15 characteristics of spiritual love. So first, it is about love is patient. And as you listen to the message, I hope you will understand what kind of attributes of love you should try to cultivate more. Brothers and sisters, let me give you the definition of spiritual patience. First, it is to be patient about all kinds of difficulties and hardship while you're trying to love. It is to be patient with all kinds of difficulties and hardships while you're trying to love. There are some things that you can encounter when you try to love. You listen to the word and realize that you have to cultivate spiritual love. So you try to do it. You try to put it into practice. And all these circumstances, you wish that they will help you love others. But even though you try to love others, some people might discourage you, saying, you know, you're not such a good person. Or some people hate you, or you hate others. And there are some situations where you can't really love the other person. But then you you have to be patient and still and continue to keep on trying to love. There was a testimony of a person who went into spirit. And as he was, he didn't really have so much willingness or intention to love God so much, but after he was changed, he had to lead, speak for cell group service. And so he was speaking about patience in love. Love is patient. And while he was explaining, said, love is to turn the other cheek. Somebody has struck you on one of the cheeks. And one of his friends, after hearing the message, can I hit your cheek once? And hearing that, he was a colleague or he was one of his friends, so. And of course, he didn't really mean he wanted to hit him. And he was just wondering, if you try to cultivate love, you have to change your whole self. And how can it be easy? And so when he asked if I can hit you, and not right now, but after I change, we'll talk about this later. Of course, it was kind of a joke, but if you really, if you make up your mind to turn the other cheek, then you might actually get into that kind of situation. When I decided to change my evil attributes, then when I try to be patient, strangely, some situations began to take place around me. If there is another person next to me, you know, usually the same situation will happen to both of them, but both of us, but I think it is my own perspective. In the past, the same situation happened together. If we had to yield, we had to yield together. But as I try to change myself, the situation required that I, my own alone, had to yield. And maybe it could have been only for me or for both. But anyway, I think it was the love of God who was trying to change me. You know, if you are patient once or twice, you know, you think it is a great deal. But as you keep on being patient, you might not be able to hold it any longer. Sometimes you feel you're wrongfully suffering. But because God's word says you have to be patient, you keep on being patient. And eventually, you'll be you'll improve on little by little. And next, you have to be patient about yourself. This is also a very important aspect. While trying to cultivate patience, being patient about the circumstances is important, but also it is very important to be patient about yourself. Some people who, some athletes, they say, being an athlete and training is a struggle against yourself. So sometimes spiritual battle is the same. You have to overcome yourself. When you are out of breath, you have to overcome that situation. Because we are trying to get rid of the evil that is combined with our body. We have to struggle to the point of shedding blood. So we have to struggle and overcome. In the seminary, one of the pastors preached. He was very good at long distance running. And as he was running, he said, while running, there were many points where he couldn't bear any longer. And in those moments, you feel that you can't go on any longer. And he said there could be two, three, four times, depending on the distance you are running. And there are people who can pass that point, and there are some people who can't pass but fall. If you don't pass that point, you give up. But once you pass that point, it becomes easier. So even in spirit, if we overcome the limit of your endurance, limit of your patience, when you encounter such a point, you should encourage yourself. You should comfort yourself. So not to become arrogant, but you have to encourage yourself and strengthen yourself so that you can overcome such a point. And after overcoming that kind of point, you'll be able to overcome even a greater difficulty. You're trying hard to be changed and to go into spirit, and in that process, think of the words of the senior pastor too, because he said he will definitely bring us to New Jerusalem. And in patience, there is a fleshly patience and spiritual patience. Spiritual patience, you don't pay back evil with evil. And furthermore, you show goodness. It was the case with Jesus. He didn't break a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. There are some people who say negative things, who can't change quickly. Sometimes some people are hesitant. These people are the battered reed. And Jesus didn't say, "You're helpless."
그리고 꺼져가는 심지와 같은 분들은 어떤 분들이십니까? 네, 꺼져가는 심지, 심지가 초가 있고.
And who are like a smoldering wick? When it is a burning well, it doesn't smell or it doesn't give out any smoke. But when it is almost finished, there is a lot of smoke.
주변에 있기가 쉽지 않은 그런 정도도 될 수가 있습니다.
And it's difficult to stay there. So it is about those who give a hard time to others. And if there is a person like a smoldering wick, Jesus never said, "I don't want you." When there were trials in the church, in human thought, God let us know, so maybe He could have kicked them out or fire them. Then we wouldn't have had such a big problem. And I came to this church after the three major tests. And when I heard about those tests, I was very heartbroken. And I was wondering how he could have overcome such a situation. And I was thinking to myself, of course, it was a long time ago. What if he just, the senior pastor, just fired them? Maybe, wasn't it God let him know in advance to fire them, to get it over with? But through those moments, the church members were changed. They realized the evil inside them, or goodness, or their trust, so the church could stand on a firm rock. So men's thoughts and God's thoughts are very different. If those people were fired, then we wouldn't have had focused on the sanctification of heart, but we would have just focused on outward faithfulness. But because God has great love, He gave us these beautiful messages in this church, and this time of trial, so we could pass and accept many more people, and even those, so that we could accept even those who betrayed us, so that they could come back. At that time, senior pastor also prayed in the Daniel prayer meeting with the church members. And probably he prayed for those people who left the church, who attacked the church, for them to come back. And I think of how heartbroken he must have been, thinking of those souls. So this, I realize this is spiritual love. And to spiritually patient is to pray for those who persecute us, even for the enemies. Jesus said, does Jesus, he told us to love our enemies, and did he have any enemies? He didn't have any enmities from himself, from his side, but there were people who stood against God with their own will. And there were people who were leading even others to the way of death, to the way of hell. They are the enemies of Jesus. And they are also enemies of God. Because they are obeying the evil spirits to persecute the Lord and blaspheme God. But and yet, so we can say these people are enemies of Jesus. And so did Jesus hate these people? No, of course not. He rather prayed for them. When Jesus was dying on the cross, we read from the Gospel of Luke, the last seven words on the cross, not all of them are in one gospel, but they are scattered throughout the four gospels. So in Luke, it says, Father, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In our church, there are many who see the spiritual world, the spiritual realm. So some of them saw Jesus being scourged and who was hung on the cross. He was even punched. And taking the cross itself is such a great pain. But even before the cross, he was beaten and scourged. And so before he took the cross, he didn't have any strength left. The person who saw Jesus explained, the Roman soldiers were really strong. And these strong soldiers would punch the face of Jesus. You might think it'll get bruised. But because Jesus was not eating well, he was already skinny. And he didn't have so much flesh on his face. His face was a little long. And as he was punched, his face swelled up right away. But try to turn the face and try to look at the person who punched him. It was not to hate him, but to look into his eyes with so much love in his eyes. And so, as he looked into the eyes of Jesus, he couldn't punch him any longer. So spiritual patience is to give the cloak if somebody asks for your tunic and to turn the other cheek. David had that kind of a heart. He loved Saul, he loved the people, he loved the king, he loved the nations. But he had to be chased by the king for such a long time. He had to live in the wilderness. With his love, he fought against the Philistines and saved his country. But because Saul was envious, because people were praising David, Saul was jealous and he wanted to kill David. And when David was playing the harp for the king, Saul tried to put him in the wall by throwing a spear. The Bible mentions three occasions.
And
Saul wanted to kill David by the hands of the Gentiles. And David had to run and hide in so many different places. And he had two chances to kill Saul. Actually, King Saul was disobedient to God and he was arrogant and he was already forsaken by God. And David was anointed by God and God said, he is a man after my heart. So on the outside, he could have just killed Saul and become the king. But David didn't do that. He had two chances to kill Saul, but he didn't. And he just had a symbol that he didn't kill Saul. And he knelt before the king. And you are following me, and it's like following a dead dog or a flea. And he humbled himself so much. And so he melted even the evil heart of Saul. So this is to be spiritually patient, to be able to turn the other cheek. If you are fleshly patient, patient in a fleshly way, you have a limit after being patient once or twice or three times. You can bear with it any longer. If you are hit one to three times, you have to hit back at least once. Or sometimes you even pay back even more. And those who are patient, fleshly, you can be patient when you can. You're patient when you can be patient. But if you can't, if you're not able to be patient, you don't try to be patient. You just throw your temper tantrum. But spiritual patience is to be patient all the time, in any case. Of course, to be able to cultivate spiritual patience, initially you have to be patient fleshly, in a fleshly way. Because your amount of love is not enough. You first have to suppress your feelings so that your hatred or anger will not come out. But it'll not be helpful to you in a long run if you just suppress your feelings. So initially you should try to suppress your feelings, but while doing that, you have to get rid of the evil itself from your heart and cultivate spiritual patience. So spiritual patience is not to suppress our feelings. That is fleshly patience. It is to get rid of the original evil that makes us have hard feelings. So this is spiritual patience. If we cultivate the spiritual patience completely, in any case, we won't even have to be patient about anything. In any case, even though somebody is slandering us or anything, we don't have to be patient about anything. We can just be cool about it. So, in order to cultivate spiritual patience, what do we have to do? First, we have to have faith and love. So what do faith and love have to do with cultivating spiritual patience? When we study for something, we should have a purpose so that we'll get the good results. Suppose if you grown-ups go back to your student days, school days, you probably will study much harder than you did when you were a student. If you can go back to those days, then you know for certain why you have to study. Then you will have better sense of responsibility. And faith and love in cultivating patience is similar. What is faith? It is to believe the fact that we received the love of God who gave us His one and only Son. We have received the love of God the Almighty. 1 John 3:16 says, We know by this that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. To believe that we received God's love. This faith gives us great power. And we also have to have love. It is to love God who loved us and to love the Lord who gave us His life. 1 John 4:19 says, We love because He first loved us. And we were changed by the love of the shepherd. That is why you, in the beginning, when you were listening to the messages about Beatitudes, Love Chapter, or Nine Fruits of the Holy Spirit, you thought it was difficult for you to cultivate those attributes. But there were many people who were changed by the love of the shepherd, many who went onto the rock of faith and into spirit. So for that reason, and seeing those people, you felt that you could also change, and you could have hope. And you know the song, The Reason Why I Must Enter New Jerusalem. Because the Father's throne of glory is located there, and we want to be in the bosom of the Lord, and because the shepherd wouldn't give up on me. We have to have this faith and love so that we can try and change. Because we believe in the love of God and love of the Lord, we try. And because we believe, we can love. And I believe you also want to go to the place where God's throne is. And you want to see the Father God. And you want to be in the warm embrace of the Lord. And also, you want to see the Holy Spirit who helped us in our weaknesses. And you want to be with the shepherd who has been helping us. And you want to be strength to Him. And if you go into spirit, and it means you have cultivated spiritual patience to some extent. And the more desperate heart you desire to go into spirit, if you listen to their testimonies, they were not just desperate, they were dying to go into spirit so they could go into spirit. If you think you're desperate, but you have not gone into spirit yet, in that case, you are desperate, but that desperate desire is not only about God, but it's also about yourself. Suppose if there are 100 rooms in your heart, and to love God 51%, you can say you love God. But if you love 50% and 50-50, it is not to love God. But if you love God 51%, you can say you love God. And such people can change much more slowly than those who love God 80%, 90%, or 95%. But this is the reason why we have to cultivate love. And to keep this faith and love, we have to remember the grace we received again and again. And we must not forget the grace we received. Some people think of the grace they haven't received. Why isn't greater grace coming to me? If you have these thoughts, it means you have forgotten the grace you received. We received so much grace, so many blessings. But sometimes we took them for granted, and we are not grateful for the things that we have already received. So, Just as we were strengthened by the love of the Lord and God and the Shepherd, we have to remember the grace we received so that we can cultivate spiritual patience. Secondly, to cultivate spiritual patience, we have to have both the part of God and our own effort. Sometimes people ask for God's help without trying themselves. Sometimes you have to seek the help of God, but they just try on their own. If you just try on your own, you'll have to calculate, will I be able to cultivate that message, that heart, that attribute, that goodness, that love? Then probably you'll end up thinking you won't be able to do that. But if you rely on yourself, you can never change. With your own power, you can't get rid of any sinful nature that is combined with your body. It is impossible. Romans 8:26 says, But the Holy Spirit, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So He helps us all the time, and the Father God and the Lord are also waiting for us to ask them for their help. So they are already ready to help us, and it is our part that we have to ask them to help us. Just by asking them, can we really change? No. We have to try on our own too. As in James 2:14, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? So to cultivate spiritual patience and goodness and love, we also need our own effort. We have to fast and pray continually and learn the Word of God continually. And also, we shouldn't just focus on the outward deeds itself, but we have to do it with our heart. In order to have both the part of God and our own effort, what do we have to do? Senior pastor explained about this in the message. Christian life is easy. And he asked, is it difficult to lead a life in faith, or is it easy? Most of you would say it's easy, but sometimes some people would say it's difficult. Is it easy for you? I think most of you will say it's easy. Sometimes some people say, Matthew 7:14 says, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So it's hard. So I'm just going the narrow way. It's hard. But then what did a senior pastor say? And if you think Christian life is hard, get rid of the thought itself first. It is much easier. And if you listen to this message, you'll understand how senior pastor met the Lord and how he cultivated sanctification in his heart. And because he loved God, so much. And because the grace he received, he engraved it so deep in his heart. So he just passed everything so easily. Senior pastor says it wasn't hard, but the trials that he passed, were they something easy? No. They weren't easy at all. But just by thinking about the Father God and the Lord, he could overcome even difficult trials. Those trials were really, really, really difficult trials, sometimes demanding his life. So, it's not the situation itself that is hard, but we don't have enough spiritual love to overcome the situation. That is the point. So we have to receive the help of God, and we have to try on our own. So these two have to combine. So God can give us the grace for us to be able to change and for us to be able to cultivate the spiritual patience. Thirdly, to cultivate spiritual patience, we shouldn't give up until the end, until it is cultivated in us. So not giving up is the basic of being patient. What is the reason that we can't be patient? Because we give up midway. But if you are patient, it takes longer time until we give up. One of the parish members texted me saying, I'm trying to control my words. If she begins to speak, she can't hold her words, so she insists on her opinions. Sometimes she raises her voice. But because she wants to change, she's trying to change. And she decided to stop her words, to be able to control. And she stopped talking for 1 week. She had to speak so many times a day. And for her, 1 week was such a long time. And then she texted me saying, Pastor, it's been a week since I began to control my words, and I realized so many things. I realized I spoke so many meaningless, useless words, and I didn't understand the heart of other people. And I just thought other people were thinking this way, but they were thinking in such a different way. And because she wouldn't speak, she had to listen to others. So after receiving this text message, I was touched. For her, it was not easy to be able to hold her words even for 1 day, but she held her words for 1 week, and I could see that she was trying her best. And so, because I received the text in the evening, I don't know if she is holding it until this moment. Maybe she could have given up, or she is still holding it. But if she was patient for 1 week, she could have the confidence that she could be patient for 1 week, then she could try to be patient for, say, 2 weeks and 3 weeks, and eventually she'll be able to cultivate the patience in her. There are many people who talk about onions. You know, no matter how much you peel the skins of onion, they are the same. If you peel off one layer, it's the same. And it's the smell, and it is very painful to your eyes. You have to shed tears. And it's very strong. So, it looks like you got rid of a layer of sin flesh after trying so hard. But then the same form comes up again. And then you get rid of it, but the same form of evil comes up again. So you might think, you have a very evil nature, and you might get discouraged. But thinking of this allegory of onion, peeling it off, eventually it'll be removed completely. If you think you have encountered the limit, think of this onion. I peeled off another layer. So after getting rid of this layer, I'll be much better. I'll be a much better person. And I hope you will just keep on trying. Let me conclude the message. We're trying hard to change ourselves through the leadership conference and through the summer retreat. And also we'll have summer, Christmas, and all these things are the chances given to us. The senior pastor delivers a message sometimes because he is out of energy. He has to hold on to the podium. Sometimes we saw a lot of tears from his eyes. When I saw his tears for the first time, I just felt sorry. But as the time went, I began to realize that those tears were for me. Those tears were shed for me, not for anybody else, but he shed those tears for me personally. So as we realize this fact, we try to change ourselves to pay back the grace. And in the original voice, there is an extension and shortening of the time flow. And as we spiritually, and as we realize ourselves, we have different reactions. Oh, I wish I could have known this evil earlier so that I could change, I could pray and change earlier. While at other times, some other people, after realizing ourselves, they might even get discouraged. But think of the grace of the Father, God, and keep on trying. It takes a long time to harvest. Sometimes the rice doesn't seem to grow up. But through those days, you have to weed out, supply the water, and catch the worms again and again, and eventually you will get the harvest. Even if you realized about yourself now, whenever you regret not realizing yourself earlier, you shouldn't get impatient, but just keep on trying, asking for the mercy and help of God. And when you realize yourself, you might think you are far away from New Jerusalem. Then please think about the love of the shepherd who vowed to bring us to New Jerusalem. So whenever you try to cultivate each of the good attributes, think of the love of the Father God, the Lord, and the shepherd, so that you'll be eventually able to bear the beautiful fruits. I pray this in the name of the Lord. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Dear Father God, thank you. Thank you for giving us the strength on this Sunday for us to be able to change. Let us be able to cultivate the attributes of your good heart, love. Be with us and protect us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We'll receive the prayer for the sick of the senior pastor on video. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and for those who are not sick, lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, God of love, lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV in branch churches and local sanctuaries and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, tissues, and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Light come. Scorch all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, uterine, and intestinal cancers. AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations, go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. back pain, headache, neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened. Get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. Let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensation go away. Father, let there be no scars remaining. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessings of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of heavenly places, and their servants go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness, darkness, go away, light, come. Father God, give them the strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly host, and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying the Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.